Jermaine Bean is bringing our message today from Judges chapter 6, verses 36 through 40.
Judges chapter 6. And this, I don't want to go through all of Judges chapter 6. I want to run through it because there's a place that I want to get to that is the cross. Okay? I want to get to Jesus really fast, all right? So we're going to sprint through these verses, chapter 6, verses 1 all the way to 36. We're going to sprint through those and land in this great place, verses 36 through 40. Amen? Y'all with me on that? All right, because I'm running this. So y'all ain't got no choice. But please follow me. So let's just read those verses, those main verses that I want to sprint to. This is where we're going to land our plane, if you will. So Judges chapter 6, verse 36 through 40 reads, "Then Gideon said to God, 'If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, behold, I am laying a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece alone, and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said.' And it was so. When he rose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece, he wrung enough dew from the fleece to fill a bowl with water. Then Gideon said to God, 'Let not your anger burn against me.'" Amen. "Let me speak just once more. Please, let me test just once more with the fleece. Please, let it be dry on the fleece only, and on the ground let there be dew." And God did so that night, and it was dry on the fleece only, and on all the ground there was dew. Man, y'all don't even know. Y'all don't even know. This is it's a great place to be. So just some thoughts, okay, as we go into this, I want you to be thinking and kind of wrestling with these thoughts. Walking with God. Think about the last time you felt like you were walking with God. Really. And think about the dew of the morning, how peaceful it is in the morning here in Oklahoma, and how the dew falls on the ground. And even think about the blessing of God through this miracle that is the dew. All right, Genesis chapter 2 verse 6 talks about how the dew was before all the before the storms of the earth, and before, you know, rains would come and beat down even plants and rain down on you. There was none of that in perfection. Genesis chapter 2 speaks of a time where dew just laid on the ground. It's God's peace. Genesis chapter 27, verse 28 and 39 talks about the blessing and favor that is described when the Bible talks about the dew. Right? The holy mist of God. Yes. Watering and blessing and growing in a gentle touch, if you will. Think about that as we march through these verses. Think about Judges, where we're at right now. We're talking about Judges chapter 6. And think about the people that preceded Gideon, the judge we're going to be talking about today. He's the fifth judge, I believe. And the time was evil. The time was confusing. The people were not holding fast to God's word. And it showed. There were some of faith, yes, that God brought up by his own hand. Because the people were not, like I said, they were not doing what they were supposed to do. They were not discipling. They were not teaching. They were forgetting. That's what they were doing. Their practice was forgetting the Lord. And God rose up people by his own hand of faith. And there were evil people. There were people that were coming against Israel. This was the time that we're talking about. You know, in Hebrews changed my whole idea of Gideon. Because we can think of Gideon and think, Gideon does some things. He does some things that I would not do. He's throwing that fleece out there and testing God. And in some faiths, there are people who do that. There are probably friends that you know. There might be people in this room that think about throwing that fleece, asking God and saying, God, do this for me so that I will know. Right? You guys familiar with that? Laying the fleece. Yes? No? Amen? No? Yeah. It's kind of a popular term. Laying the fleece. And some people would say, Gideon, no, boy, you've done some stuff, you've done some things right, but there were some things you've done wrong as well. But the writer of Hebrews, chapter 11, talks about by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. That's 19 plus times he says by faith, by faith. He's talking about Noah and Abraham and Isaac and all these people of great faith. And then he gets to these judges. He says, do I have time to talk about Gideon? As he mentions great faith, we think about Gideon being scared, but the writer of Hebrews is talking about him being a man of great faith. So this changes a lot for me as I go into these verses. Think about that idea. Gideon is going to share something with us. He's going to preach a word to us today that it's only by faith. There is skepticism in this world. Think about that. Maybe you are skeptical about some of the things of God. I know I have friends who are trusting in Jesus, but skeptical about some of the things that he said or some of the things that his word says, and they don't know where to turn. But most importantly, church family, think about the peace of God. Because more than this message or this chapter is about Gideon, it is about the Lord. Amen. It's about his character. So whether or not we can look at Gideon and think, oh, Gideon, you did some things wrong or you did some things right. Gideon, man, you doubted a lot, man. You said if a lot, right? Let's not focus so much on Gideon and forget the character of God that's presented to us in this passage. So let's get to it. My task today is to encourage my church family to never forget the Lord. He is patient, so run to him. In your doubts and in your fears, and allow him to lay the peace that he offers down gently in your life on fertile ground because you know him. Amen. So, chapter 6, let's run to the cross, if you will. Here we go, chapter 6. And my first point I want to say, and I'll say this again, people of God, remember God and obey the Lord of your salvation. If you want to write it down, you can. Point number one, people of God, remember God and obey the Lord of your salvation. And let us run. Verse 1 through 3, these verses present a problem. And some of you guys, if you read this, you might think the problem is the Midianites. The Midianites are people that's coming against Israel. They're oppressing them. They're attacking them. It's really bad. They're taking their crops. They're leaving them just stripped of security and food and shelter. These people are bad. The Midianites and the Amalekites are causing problems for Gideon and his people. The author, you might think that the Midianites are the problem, but that's not the problem. If you read Judges, over and over again, the author says, the people of God did evil in the sight of God. And then the bad stuff happens. Amen? Y'all don't read y'all's Bible. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. The people of God did evil in the sight of God, and then the bad things happened. So we fall on this idea that it's not the world is going to do the things the world does. But what are the people of God going to do? Right? The bad stuff didn't happen because Satan tempted Adam and Eve. The bad stuff happens because Adam failed. I was thinking about some of my friends here, Mike Snyder, in the fields with the cows, right? And I thought about, this is a funny thought that came to my mind, Mike. I thought about Mike out there with them cows and wearing some Hey Dudes. Y'all know what Hey Dudes are, right? Hey Dudes are soft, some of the softest shoes you can wear. Mike wouldn't do that. He wouldn't go out in that field with them cows, let them cows step on his little precious toes. Not prepared, and then get mad at the cow for stepping on his toes. No. You can't get mad at the world or the cow in this instance. You can't get mad because the world does what it does. Mm-mm. You got to do what you got to do. Follow the Lord. Remember the Lord of your salvation. And they were forgetting. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 2, it tells about a reminder. Moses is trying to remind them, look, if you do what God asked you to do, then the blessings of the Lord will fall on you as a people. You will be overtaken by the blessings of God. That's some interesting wording there. Overtaken by blessings. It just fall on you. You just overwhelmed by God's blessings. But if you don't, if you don't, let me just sum it up. 28. As we land in this place, in these verses, the context is just this. A nation that you have not known shall eat up the fruit of your ground and all of your labors. And you shall be only oppressed and crushed continually. That's what he said. That's what Moses said. And that's what's happening right now. Interesting. Y'all better listen to God's word, y'all. I better listen to God's word, right? Verse 7 through 10, a prophet is sent by none other than God. He sends a prophet, and the prophet gives them the gospel. And the gospel is not complete in the idea that he's talking about Jesus. They're hoping for a Messiah, right, at this point. But it is whole and complete in the idea that it gives them a more tangible gospel for the people to reach out and grasp, right? Like, I need a God who sees me. I need a God who loves me. I need a God who cares. And that's the same God that saved us from Israel. That's the gospel that the prophet is speaking at this point. The prophet comes, and the verses don't even name the prophet. They don't even give him a name. It just tells us that he's giving them the gospel. And the gospel, guys, it really hasn't changed. For them, it was a little bit blurry and incomplete. You guys are here in the time of the church, and you get the blessing of the full word of God, and you get to see how Jesus, I'm not there yet, I haven't run to the cross yet, all right, y'all hold up, I'm getting a little excited, but you can see how Jesus is a part of this whole story, amen? But the Exodus is what they were looking at as their gospel. And it was very real, like 200 years in the past. They could remember this if they would choose to remember. The prophet reminded them of a physical savior, right? God, Yahweh, delivered a person that would save them from a physical slavery, physical hurt, into a physical freedom. That should have led them to a spiritual longing for God. The prophet, although his name was not mentioned, he's saying the same stuff I'm saying today. He's talking the same thing. He's talking about the same God that I'm talking about today. So we're going to link arms, me and this prophet that we don't know. Verse 11 through 13, the narrative takes a hopeful turn. Yes, it does, because God is beginning to work and to reveal a solution to the problem. And guys, remember, this is very important that you guys remember, the problem is not the Midianites oppressing the Israelites. That's not the true problem. The true problem is the people were fruitless in their faith. They had no faith. They had forgotten God. That is the real problem. The angel of God appears to Gideon. And I know some of y'all are already thinking, oh, there it is. There's the cross. There's Jesus. Because we do believe the angel of God, as he appears to Gideon and throughout the Old Testament, is Jesus. But that's not quite what I'm talking about here. The angel of God appears to Gideon, and Gideon is beating wheat, hiding away in a wine press. Now, this tells us the hopelessness of the situation. Y'all know, to beat wheat, you're supposed to be outside. You're supposed to be in the wind, you're supposed to carry this, you know what I'm saying? He's in a wine press, like sheltered, bunkered down, because he's so afraid of the oppressor. This is a problem. It's changed. See, when the people, let me tell y'all something, man, okay, all right. Y'all come with me, all right? When you forget God, it changes your whole culture. It changes everything. When you begin to forget and lose sight of the salvation that God has given you, church family, it changes your whole culture. You begin to live in fear. The Israelites were supposed to be out conquering these lands that God has given them. This blessing is supposed to flow from them. But no, they're bunkered down, hiding now. Building shelters in the side of hills so that they won't be attacked from all sides. They're scared. They're afraid. We don't need to live like that. Amen? No. God has blessed us too much to live like that. We cannot forget the God of our salvation. And this is where we find this delicate man of God, Gideon. He's a delicate vessel, you know? And if we can remember, right, the Exodus, this story is following suit again, the same idea of the Exodus. Then Gideon would be the Moses figure in this story. He would be the person that is the finite deliverer, like the person that's just like, remember Moses? Man, I don't know if you got the right guy. I'm bad with my words. You know what I'm saying? You want to send someone else? This is Gideon. This is his same demeanor, his same attitude. God calls him a mighty man of valor, and Gideon is skeptical. God point blank says, Gideon, you're the guy for the job, and Gideon is reluctant. You are a man of valor. That means courage. And Gideon's like, no, sir. No, sir. No, not me. So here comes the ifs. All right. I love the ifs of this passage in chapter 6. The ifs. The Lord is with us. And Gideon says, then why has he let this happen? And why has he forsaken us? This is Gideon's thinking. What about the wonderful deeds that my ancestors have talked about? What about these things? Let me tell you something. This is a blessing. Gideon has a blessing. He don't even know it. People have forgotten God. And Gideon says a word like this. He says, what about those wonderful deeds that my ancestors talked about? The fact that Gideon remembered the word of God gave him a hidden might. He had something to reference God to, right? And that gives you a hidden might, a heart of valor. Just knowing God and remembering what he did in your family. Let's talk about your life. Just knowing God and remembering what he did in your testimony, it gives you a might about the world and about the God that you serve. It gives you a valor and a courage because you know what he did do. You know what he's capable of. Man, come on, y'all. Y'all ain't here with me. A heart of valor. He had it because he remembered what his ancestors have said. Though his situation was bleak and dark, and the culture around him was very skeptical, he remembered. And God was ready to use this. He says, I am the least of my father's house. This is what the kind of, this is kind of thinking he's, I'm the least of my father's house. My clan is the weakest of Manasseh. All these things, all these different things. God said, you're the man. And he says, I'm the weakest. Even my family is the weakest. You know, it couldn't be me. He didn't realize that God, y'all know something that Gideon don't know. Y'all read your Bibles. God is ready to use the weak to overcome the strong, right? It says that God has chosen to use the weak things of this world to confound that which is strong. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, or chapter 1, verse 27. That's what we know. But Gideon didn't know that. So let's give him some grace. Let's give him some grace, all right? Then here comes the first do. Here comes the first point of God giving, just laying that piece down in the life of the Israelites, starting with Gideon. He says, like this, Gideon, do I not send you? Do I not send you? That's the first bit of peace and hope that the Israelites have. It starts in this man. God has made Gideon the first sign of blessing to God's people. And it's telling us in this narrative that a mercy mist is coming to the people. If you could just hold on a little bit longer, a mercy mist is coming. Something that will gently lay on the things of this that you've built, and it will bring forth life. If you would just continue to trust. Oh man. I want to ask you guys something. As Gideon was that first mercy mist for Israel in this time, could you just think, are you maybe the mercy mist for this time? Maybe you're the mercy that God has for the world right now. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe it's outside the box for you. I don't know. Maybe. Verse 17. Let's keep going. Here comes another if. Oh, man. Come on, Gideon. Give us the ifs, all right? Because we're full of ifs as well. So let's hear your if. And he said to him, if now I have found favor in your eyes, then show me a sign that is it, or that it is you who speaks with me. Please do not depart from here until I come to you and bring out my present and set it before you. And he said, I will stay till you return. This is God saying, I will stay till you return. Isn't that an encouraging word for us today? Now, I know this story really is not about us. This is Gideon and dealing with Israelites and all that. But if we could just fast forward, run to our present time, isn't it just cool, a cool thing that God is willing to stay until you return? Some of you, oh man, some of you want to run from God. Y'all looking at me like, no, Jermaine, now hold on. Some of you want to run from God. Just go ahead. Say it. Like in your heart, in your mind, think about it. I want to flee from the presence of God because he's here. And all I can think about is how I can get away from him. Even Gideon is thinking, I'm in the presence of God. What am I going to do? I'm going to run. I'm going to run away from him. And I'm going to go over here and I'm going to do something. And maybe I'll look around the corner. Is he still there? He's still there. I'm going to make this blessing, this present for him. I'm going to, this offering for him. Is he still there? He's still there. He's still waiting for your return. God is waiting for your return. Will you come back to be in his presence? Y'all don't hear me. Will you come back to be in his presence? He is waiting for your return. Let's keep pushing because time's creeping up on us. Y'all got to eat, I know. I'm eating right now. I want y'all to know right now. I'm excited about this. If these ifs, right? Where do you go when you leave the presence of God? Gideon went to prepare a sacrifice for God, for this angel of the Lord. I wonder where you go when you leave the presence of God. I know that God lives in us and that he never leaves us. But where do you go when you leave, say, church? Do you run back to the world? Or do you go into to a place where you build a sacrifice for God and you bring it back to him? And you go again out of the presence of God, your quiet time maybe, and you go into the world and you go and share the gospel with someone. And you say, God, I'm building this sacrifice for you. And you when you enter his presence again, you have something to tell him. You say, God, today I did this, and I brought this to your cross. I brought this person to know you. Thank you for that. Or do you leave his presence and you go into the world and you do what the world does? What do you do when you leave the presence of God? He's waiting for your return. That wasn't even a point, but y'all better be listening because this is some good stuff. All right, verse 22, if I have seen the Lord face to face, Gideon says, will I die? Will I die? But God yet again delivers the dew, the mist, the gentle presence. And he says, peace be to you. Do not fear. You will not die. I think about Adam and Eve. I think about how they thought as they were in the presence of God, they knew better than God. And then they fell. And then they went away from God's peace. Amen. Y'all follow me? Yes. And that was a dark, dark time in human history that affects us all. Amen. But when God says, do not fear, you're welcome in my peace. To Gideon, who is fallen, who is just like us, skeptical, doubtful, fearful. But God says, this is the character of God. Now, we're not talking about Gideon so much. We're talking about God. God says, you are welcome. You shall not die. Some of us, I'm going too long, church family, but some of us are broken. And you don't know how it is possible that the holy God that you've met before, you've been on your knees, you prayed to him before, and you know him, he saved your soul, and you've done something dark. You've done something that just you think is going to rip the heart of God out of his chest. How is it possible that he says, come on back, you shall not die? We're going to get to how it's possible. We're getting there, all right? Shalom. Shalom. It means peace. Remember the Lord, church. Remember that he is not, he doesn't want to destroy you. He wants to save you. He's the God of your salvation. Point number two, destroy the idols in your home. And I'm going to run through this really fast. Destroy the idols in your home. What was going on with Gideon is after he met God, and God gave him mission. He met this idea of shalom, and he built an altar, and he named it peace, basically, the Lord of my peace. And he remembered God, and he became strong. And God gave him a mission in that might, in that valor. He gave him a mission. He said, go and you destroy the idols of your father's house, which is Gideon's house as well. Go and you destroy those idols. That altar of Baal and that Asherah pole that's in your father's backyard. You go and you knock it down. Now, Gideon, he did what God asked him to do, but he did it under the cover of night. He was a little bit afraid. You know, it's okay. It's all right. But he did what God asked him to do. Praise God. And it changed him forever. The people, including his family, they wanted to kill him. The people, they wanted to kill him. They didn't remember God. They didn't remember that you were supposed to stone people who worship idols. That's what God said. He said, if you worship idols, the community is supposed to get together, pick a rock, and stone that person because we're not having any of that. But they want to kill Gideon for tearing down the idol. Now, if y'all don't see how that translates over to your life, you ain't walking with God. How when you do what God asks you to do, there's always someone in your family, someone you work with. They don't want to see God prevailing. So they want to destroy you. They want to take you out. They want to beat you, either verbally or physically. There are people, missionaries, who are dying because they want to help a community in the name of Jesus Christ. And there's people in that same community that would gun them down. Let Baal contend against him. It changed Gideon's name. Jerubbaal. It changed his name. I know that if you begin to follow God like this, when you begin to tear down the idols in your own house, in your own life, it will begin to change your name in the eyes of man. Your brothers, your sisters, your church members will begin to see you in a different way. They'll say, you're a child of God. Jermaine, are you a preacher? It begins to change your name. It is not no longer basketball player and baseball player and man, you're athletic and man, all this. It begins to change your name to father. Oh, it begins to change your name to husband. Y'all don't hear me right now. Ain't nobody saying amen. Y'all must be asleep right now. Has your name been changed? When you begin to follow God and you tear down the idols in your own life, it changes your name. You're no longer sinner. No, you're no longer liar. No, you're a child of God. It changes your name. Y'all gonna get me emotional up here now. But Gideon is thirsting at this point. He is thirsting because he's under heat, the pressure of family and foe. See, the Midianites are coming against him strong now. And God has given him an ability. He's blessing him with this mist, but he needs more. He needs a little bit more because he's still skeptical, okay? So what happens when God works, when Gideon works by the Spirit of God, see? We can look really close at this passage. In verse 34, it says, the Spirit of God clothed Gideon. It clothed him. Oh, that's something different, right? God had been meeting him and blessing him. The mist had been falling on him, you know, but now he's clothed in the Spirit of God. He's enveloped in the dew and the blessing of heaven. And let me just pray for us, that we'd be clothed in the mist, in the dew, in the mercy, in the blessing of heaven. Oh, to be covered in the dew of heaven, a divine mist that you can inhale and it satisfies your every need to breathe and to live and to be at peace. Church family, in the dew like this, in the mist like this, in the presence of God like this, my ifs are guided straight to the will of God, your desire, God. Let that be all. Forget what I want. Forget my skepticism and my doubt, my fear, even God, is what you want. Walking in your presence makes me grow and to long to never leave your presence. The garden where we meet, the place where the dew of heaven blankets the ground and my steps are wet in your will. Shalom, 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 amen. That is the peace that I'm desiring. Psalms 42:1, like a deer pants for the flowing stream, so pants my soul for you, O God. Gideon is operating differently now, and that goes to our third and final point. Lay the fleece, remember the lamb. We can lay the fleece, guys. That's not a no-no. Laying the fleece, not a no-no. If you lay the fleece and remember the lamb, it makes you lay the fleece in a different way. See, I don't believe that Gideon is operating in the same way. The Spirit clothed Gideon, it says. So I believe that now this work that Gideon is doing is not from the same place. It's not from like this human place. It's a different place. And this skepticism is not just him, right? I think it's for the church. I think this time that Gideon in his life and his mulling over what God wants him to do is for us today. And I think it's a prayer that he begins to pray. It's a prayer. His It's a deep concern for God's people. He must have thought. I mean, come on, guys. Be with him. He must have thought, God, I know you want me to do this, but I don't see how it's going to be done. I don't see how I can do this. Sounds like Peter. I don't see how by my strength I can do this. You're asking me to do this by my hand. How is this going to happen? How are we going to do this? Have you ever been that way? Have you ever been that place? How am I going to do this? I don't get it. I don't see. There are people depending on me, God. My family depends on me. Gideon had 32,000 people in the beginning of this whole situation that came to him after he was clothed in the Spirit. He announced that we need to build an army, and they came to him. Wow. This scared person in the wine press became someone who blows a horn and says, hey, we need to fight, guys, and people got behind him. That's what God does in a person's life. He became a leader, and he began to think, hold on, 32,000 people? Somebody's going to die and is going to be on my hands. Come on, be with him. Wouldn't you think, God, I need to make sure this is what you want me to do. I need to be sure. That's Gideon. In his supplication, you guys know what that means? Supplication. He's begging God. He's begging God on behalf of the people that he's about to lead. He's begging them. Did you hear in the verse? He says, please, please, please let me go before you one more time. You remember Abraham? When Sodom and Gomorrah is about to get just annihilated. Abraham says, God, let me come before you one more time. One more time. What about this many people? If you find this many people, will you save them? What about this many people? It comes all the way down to like 10 people. Will you save them if you... He's pleading for them. These are people who are lost that would rip your head off. And he's supplicating for them, praying for them. Where are you at in this? Is this the heart that you have for your family or for your even infant, for your enemies? That you would plead, please, please, God, please. That's where he's coming from. This fleece that he lays, it's oh man, the fleece that he lays. It's a tool for him. It keeps him warm. But for us, this is where we portal to the cross. This is where we see the glimpse of heaven and hope and Jesus Christ. When I read this, I said, man, God, you are blessing me. I hope I can just kind of contain myself a little bit as I preach this, because this is just too good. Gideon was waiting for Jesus. But man, don't I know him? Don't I know him? I'm not skeptical about him at all. I know who he is in my life. I know he's greater than Abraham, and he's greater than Moses. He is the Alpha and Omega. I know Jesus for myself. Do you? He was waiting for Jesus. He laid the fleece. Gideon asked for a sign. That fleece would be wet with dew and of heaven, and the ground be dry. And I know that the Lamb of God was filled with the peace, that dew, that heavenly dew, that hope and that the blessing of heaven. He was filled with it. He was so filled with it that when he said, peace be still, the storm calmed. Man, y'all don't hear me right now. When he said, get up, people got up. When he was so filled with the peace and the hope of heaven that he was crucified so that we could be, oh man, so we could be saved, so that someone could be baptized today. Man, y'all, Gideon awoke in the fleece that was on the threshing floor, the place where they beat things. It was so filled with the dew. He twisted it out and he constricted it and pressed it and pressed to get water to come out. And water fell from it to fill a bowl. Do you not know that they twisted and they pressed and they punched Jesus and they beat Jesus? They pressed and twisted his humanity to break the man that would save my soul. But did he break? Jesus died when he wanted to die. He gave up his spirit when he wanted to give up his spirit. At the right time, the Jermaine may be saved, man. Man, y'all better watch out. Y'all better watch out. John 19:34 says that they pierced him in his side, and from his side, as they pressed and squeezed his humanity, from his side flowed water and blood. Gideon prays for assurance once more and asks that the fleece be completely dry this time and the ground be wet. You know that from the ground, from the dust of the earth, God brought forth living things, mankind. He brought forth man. And he, before anything, the dew of God's presence, his holy blessing, laid on the dust that will become humanity, that will become us. He blessed us in that way before even time began. Before all, man, come on. The dew of heaven is ours. He made us in it. Oh, man, he breathed into us. My mind can't help but to run to the hope and the peace of heaven flowing over every man of all creation. That Gideon would pray a prayer like that. He probably didn't even realize it. But what he was asking is that the dew of heaven, the hope of heaven, spread to all creation, all the ground be covered in dew, and the fleece be dry. Every person on this planet deserves to hear the name of Jesus. Why? Because from the dirt of the ground, God made mankind, and we bear his image. Gideon prayed the first prayer of supplication. For my eyes, I and my ears and my heart, I hear him praying for me. Was Gideon by the Spirit praying not only for Israel, but to see the divine blessing of peace come before all creation, from the fleece of the lamb to the foundations of creation? I don't know. I don't know, guys. I was looking for this. For I was looking for a commentary that would support my idea, but maybe this is just for my heart. I don't know. I don't want to lead anybody astray. I don't want to put any Christology where it's not supposed to be in the Bible, whatever. But when I read this, I thought, the peace, the blessing of heaven came and died as a Lamb of God and rose and brought himself, the living water, to the world of man, the dust of the earth. That's what I heard when I read that. Be blessed by it. I was. And now I want to just conclude with this, because I'm on a spiritual high right now, and I might not ever come down. Just listen to this real quick. For you, church family, Gideon is a man of great faith. The writer of Hebrew, he says it. He gives him the honor of being mentioned by faith, by faith, by faith, 19 plus times. And with all these people, Gideon is in there. And whether or not he did it right, laying the fleece, that's not what's important. What's important here is the peace of God, the character of God. God does it right. God picks the man, and he does not fail. The man was Jesus Christ. He came for you and for me. I pray that this is the if of our heart. If you have any ifs today, if you have any ifs, come on, bring them on. God's not afraid of your ifs. Not at all. In fact, according to David and how he operated, he is welcoming your ifs. Come on, bring it. All your emotions, your doubts and your fears, bring them on. And this is what God says, Matthew 14:28. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. On the water, he says. On the water. And what did Jesus do? Come on, Peter. Come on, Peter. Come on out here. Shalom, brothers and sisters. Peace be unto you. Not just any peace, but the Lord's peace. I allow God to to help you remember your salvation all the days of your life. Every day, remember your salvation. Destroy the idols in your life. Begin to destroy the idols in your life, in your house. It doesn't matter how shameful it looks, how pitiful you might look. You are pitiful. You are. We are sinners. Begin to do the hard work that God calls you to. Destroy the idols in your life. Lay the fleece and let that fleece be a prayer of supplication. Let that fleece be a prayer of supplication. That you would go before God and ask God, please, for this person, please, for that person, please, for myself, please, Lord, please. You know, one more character I like to bring up, one more person I like to bring up is the doubting Thomas. My friend and I like to talk about doubting Thomas a lot because he's a great example of someone who followed Christ, but in the end, at the time when he should have been believing, he did doubt. And Jesus did not throw him out. He didn't say, nope, you can't be a part of what I'm doing. Nope. He didn't say that. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed. Who have every reason to be skeptical. Who have all the reasons. The world is combating them and confusing them, but yet they believe. It is not by us that we believe, my friends, my sisters, my brothers. It is by the Holy Spirit that we believe. Be blessed today. I know that your friend Jermaine Bean, he preaches with passion. This message is near and dear to my heart. I wrestled, how am I going to preach this message? It's too long. It's too much. My heart is too full. I'm too involved. I have too many friends who are filled with fear and doubt. And all I want to do for them, as I do for you, is pray. Plead before God that your doubt doesn't hinder you from coming to Jesus. As we come and worship one more time, you guys can come on up. I want you just to remember this, guys. The God that we serve, He's big enough. He has enough peace for you. He's wanting you to bring your ifs. He wants it. Nobody wants to live a life just suffocating in doubt. You would rather read your Bible and then think, I don't understand that, and then walk away from it, not thinking, God, you understand it. You can bring to my mind and my heart understanding that surpasses all. Why would you not come to God? Why would you not bend your knees? And if you are in God's presence and you are in God's peace, you know Jesus, why would you not pray for those who are not? Why would you not?